from Radio Deutsche Welle in Cologne, Melody Time. We invite you to join us for 30 minutes of light classical music. Hello there, I'm Maurice O'Brien de Clare. Welcome to the program. And what better way to begin than with a lilting waltz? But don't expect a classic from old Vienna. This time, I've chosen a composer called Hans Christian Lumbye to open the program. He hailed from Denmark, or from the Viennese point of view, up there somewhere in the far north. Lumbye was inspired to write the waltz after a visit to the famous Kroll Etablissement in Berlin. Now, at the beginning of the last century, the Prussian monarch, King Frederick William IV, although an intelligent and well-read man, nevertheless, as far as politics were concerned, well, let's say he was rather unlucky. But it was a pure stroke of genius when he urged a man called Josef Kroll to establish an entertainment center containing well-laid-out gardens. Soon it was hosting masked balls, summer garden parties, exhibitions, concerts, plays, and so on. Everyone who was anyone liked to be seen at Kroll's. The rich, famous, and influential visit of the establishment. Young Bismarck, Paganini, the visiting French crown prince, Liszt, Strauss, and one Hans Christian Lumbye. Like everyone else, he was enthralled, and as a sort of souvenir of his visit, he wrote the waltz Kroll's Ballklänge, or very roughly translated, the sound of music at Kroll's. And here it is, played by the Northwest German Philharmonic, conducted by Heinz Geiser.
Thank you.
Krall's Ballklänge, the Danish composer Hans Christian Lumbye's musical tribute to Berlin's famous 19th century pleasure center, Krall's. Now, if you didn't know it, that is, that a Dane composed that waltz, you might be tempted to guess that it was a typical waltz from the pen of Johann Strauss Sr. In fact, the young Lumbye was a great admirer of Strauss, and inspired by Viennese music, he formed his own orchestra and gave concerts a la Strauss. His first concert at the famous Tivoli Gardens in Copenhagen was a great success, and soon he was making guest appearances in all the major cities in Europe. He became extremely popular and was soon known as the Strauss of the North. When, at the beginning of this century, Franz Lehár premiered his operetta The Count of Luxembourg in Vienna, critics and audience alike were astonished. You see, a couple of years earlier, he composed The Merry Widow, and soon it was playing to delighted audiences in Europe and North and South America. And now another hit so soon afterwards? Interestingly enough, Lehár himself was also surprised at the success of The Count of Luxembourg. He said that he more or less dashed it off, as he was involved in writing two other operettas at the same time. On the night of the 12th of November, 1909, René, the Count of Luxembourg, treaded the boards of the Theater an der Wien for the first time, and took the audience by storm. For almost a year, the operetta played to full houses. Soon afterwards, it opened in London, and there was very little sign of British reserve, as the premier audience wildly applauded it. King George V and his wife Queen Mary personally congratulated the composer after the performance. Listen now to one of the lovers' duets. Lieber Freund, man greift nicht nach den Sternen. Dear friend, one does not reach out for the stars. Lucia Popp and Nikolai Gedda are accompanied by the Graunke Symphony Orchestra conducted by Willy Matthes.
Ein Wort für feige Herzen, nicht für meines. Unmöglich wär nur eines. Sie nicht zu lieben auf den ersten Blick, dem holden Reiz zu widerstehen und sich zu sträuben gegen das Geschick. Fortan in ihnen meinen
Liebe Freund, man greift nicht nach den Sternen, die für uns die Liebe hatten.
Fürchte sie, dass sie uns nicht fühlen. Ferne. Denn man wird, so wie man immer wollte, wenn man wollt, so wie man
That duet was from the operetta The Count of Luxembourg by Franz Lehár. In 1819, the 15-year-old Johann Strauss joined the three-man dance band of Josef Lanner as a viola player. Lanner was himself only 3 years older. The four young musicians were poor but happy as they played night after night at some restaurant or wine tavern on the outskirts of Vienna. And because he was the youngest, the future founder of the Strauss musical dynasty would go from table to table, plate in hand, collecting the few coins that was their livelihood. The four young hopefuls had one great ambition. They would compose dance music of a quality never heard before in wine taverns or dance halls. And their music did improve. So much so that other composers and music lovers came to listen to the exciting and lilting melodies. One of those composers was Franz Schubert. Way into the early hours of the morning, Schubert and his friends would listen to the freshly written dances or clever arrangements of melodies from an opera or operetta, never even dreaming that they were witnessing the birth of Vienna's golden waltz era. And I suppose it would have seemed just as fantastic for any of the band of four to imagine that Schubert would make his mark on musical history with his symphonies and Lieder. Unfortunately, fame came to the shy and sensitive Schubert after his death. Altogether, he wrote more than 500 songs, and today many have become firm favorites with audiences and singers alike. I'd like you to listen to one of them in an arrangement written by Johann Caspar Merz for the guitar. It's the serenade from the song collection entitled Schwanengesang, or Swan Song. Listen now to Hubert Kappel, guitar, and Ständchen from Schwanengesang.
Thank you.
That arrangement of Schubert's Ständchen was written by Johann Caspar Merz and played by Hubert Kappel. Our next composer could have had fame and fortune, but he threw it all away. Konradin Kreutzer, who was born in the southwest of Germany, was an extremely talented singer, pianist, and composer. But he was also a restless wanderer, never staying long in any one place. At the age of about 40, he arrived in Vienna, where he had no trouble at all in finding work as a conductor. Here, fortune smiled on him, and he composed two of his greatest successes, the incidental music to Ferdinand Reimann's play The Spendthrift, and an opera entitled Das Nachtlager von Granada, or roughly The Night's Lodgings in Granada. But he was again overcome by restlessness. He left Vienna and finally died in Riga in 1849, alone and completely unknown. Today, most of his romantic compositions are forgotten. An exception is the Abendchor, or evening chorus, from his opera. Here it is now, sung and played by the chorus and orchestra of the German Opera Berlin, conducted by Wilhelm Schüchter. Abend Chor from the opera Das Nachtlager von Granada by Konradin Kreutzer. Finally, I'd like you to listen to an arrangement which Johann Strauss Sr. composed using musical themes by Franz Liszt. It's called Furious Gallop and is played now by the Vienna Chamber Orchestra conducted by Paul Anger. Furious Gallop by Johann Strauss Sr., ending this edition of Melody Time. The program, which was produced by Rick Fulco with sound engineer Christian Gericke, came to you from Radio Deutsche Welle in Cologne, Germany. This has been Maurice O'Brien de Clare, wishing you all the very best, and do take care, won't you? Bye now.